This guy just walked out on stage. Jeff, who was the boss first? Who was the first boss? Well,
David was Dr. Yes. Fraser was the boss first.
All you youth ministry students, you are looking at my first ever youth intern on stage. Please give Jeff a hand. So now he's my boss, and he makes me kiss his ring. It's really odd. I have to walk into the office, kiss my ring, and I'm like, yes, sir. And, no, that doesn't happen, does it?
That does not happen.
Okay, good. You took a long time to deny it. So we're going to be talking about Bible, but I too would, first of all, he's an incredible scholar, church history and theology. He's the bomb in that. He also is the preacher at Idaloo. Any Idaloo people out there? Wildcats?
Represent Idaloo.
Did you make them sit in the middle? Is that part of the...
They're just dedicated.
They're just... Oh, and they're over there. That's so weird. It's like a Disney. Oh, over here, too. So you have a following. Very glad. Great, great story that I wish I could go into. I will just say in front of everyone, I'm so proud that when he started, people told him, please don't go to Idaloo. And half the classroom space, if not all the children's space, was literally boarded up and smelt like an old church. And it's probably one of the most revitalized, cool things on the South Plains. And it's so authentic and real. So if you can go out there and visit, Jeff will take you out to lunch.
President McDowell has a fund that he gives me for just that purpose.
Okay. Now, we gotta make right on this. I do have a confession to make since you are in charge of my tenure. This right here, this picture I'm about to show, I showed to students, and they're like, he was attractive. So, first of all, I want to give that to you.
Still am.
Yeah, it was in the past. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Carey. Early 90s.
I have to say that I think that was when I was a junior. When I was a freshman, I looked like I was 7 years old.
True.
And I didn't plan to tell it. Can I tell a short story?
It's your time.
So I looked like I was seven, and I thought, there's no way I'm ever going to get a girlfriend here. And I found this girl who looked as young as I did, and so we found each other real quick. And at that
time... This is getting really weird. Keep going, please.
At that time, there was Lubbock Christian School across the street would bring their little elementary kids over.
Oh, my.
Hey, this is chapel. Everybody settle down. They would bring their elementary kids over and to eat in the cafeteria, and they would always come in holding hands. And one day, my little girlfriend and I were leaving the cafeteria. We were holding hands. And some baseball players, be cool to people who aren't like you. This terrorized me my freshman year. They said to me out loud in front of the whole cafeteria, y'all better hurry, you're going to miss your bus. So by the time I was a junior, I was looking a little older at least.
Kind of sad.
I'm doing therapy up here right now.
That's good. That's good. Now, you did find an incredible woman, okay? We're all surprised. How many years you been married?
You know, it's...
Oh, no, 30, no, no, just answer the question.
It's 32 years.
Okay, good. Here she is. That is Saved by the Bell. They don't even know what that is.
I was wearing my hat backwards like our dean of students, Josh Stevens.
Which, boy, that's easy, low-hanging fruit. Yeah, your hat was backwards, and I called you the dean of students yesterday because I saw students, and you are my dean. You're an academic dean, the College of Bible. All right, so, yeah, she's awesome. You married up. Would everybody agree to that? Yeah. Somebody was very quick with it. Yep. All right, now, there is a point of fame. You're in Alpha Chi Delta. Where's my Alpha Chi Delta guys there? They always applaud themselves. And right here... I don't even know how to set it up other than for you. I'm going to show this picture. Great show. Explain this.
This is circa 1993.
Circa means around.
Master Follies. You know, we do these singing and dancing shows up here. And our club, we were the Musketeers. And as all good Master Follies shows happen, there's you've got this group of people and they don't know what they're going to do, they need a purpose, whatever. So in that year, the Three Musketeers movie had come out and Free Willy had come out. And if you've ever seen Free Willy, you know that the theme song is sung by Michael Jackson. And so one of my best friends at the time wrote this show that we were going to be musketeers who decide we need to go Free Willy, and we're going to have Michael Jackson come out and sing about that. And he knew that Michael Jackson, when I was like in the fourth and fifth grade, there was no bigger Michael Jackson fan than this guy right here. And he said, "Would you like to be Michael Jackson?" I peaked in my life at that time. This was the most amazing experience of my life.
Okay, it is amazing. This is totally off script. Can you moonwalk?
No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
It's for the children.
I'm not going to do it.
All right,
I
whatever.
Can tell you that I practiced moonwalking at recess every day for 2 years straight.
That's holding hands with someone who looked your age. Okay, I'm just going to cut to the chase. Why in the world do we have to take 4 Bible classes at LCU that won't transfer to another college? Why am I spending that money?
Well, so I didn't know. I have no idea what he's going to ask me today. I didn't think he was going to come out that hot.
I'm just coming right at you.
All right. First of all, I want to say how thankful I am that you are all here. I'm especially thankful to see all of you new freshmen on campus. This is really a joy to see how many of you are investing in Christian higher education. And the reason that we do Bible classes at LCU is because, as Dr. Frey said the first day, we actually really believe this stuff. And we believe that if the greatest truth about the world is a truth centered in Christ, we want to expose our students to that. And some of you come from backgrounds where that has been what you've known your whole life. Some of you are brand new to this. And we want to welcome all of you into this experience. So we do it because we actually believe it, and we think it can have a tremendous impact on your life.
So how odd is it that, and we do have some adjuncts, you know, and our department's interesting because all of you will come through the CDC at some point, the big building down there, and we get to talk to students about Old Testament, New Testament, Christian life, Christian heritage, all those things. It's awesome. We have full professors teaching undergrad classes. How unique is that in the academy?
Yeah, that doesn't happen very often. I think at a lot of other schools, maybe their top tenured professors are going to be teaching graduate level courses and research courses and that kind of thing. But all of our professors are involved in teaching our general Bible courses. So we're very thankful for that. And we have amazing adjunct professors working with us, and we're super thankful for that too.
It's pretty cool. So what is your favorite, what is your favorite class to teach freshmen when you have that opportunity?
Well, the freshman classes are Old and New Testament. Our general Bible curriculum includes Introduction to Old, Introduction to New Testament, and then Christian Heritage and Christian Life. In my earliest years of teaching, I taught the Old and New Testament classes. And then in later years, I taught more Christian Heritage and Christian Life. And now I don't get to teach any of them, unfortunately. I miss that. I think teaching Christian Heritage was maybe my favorite. I teach Christian history and theology for our majors curriculum. And studying Christian history and some of the intellectual tradition we have within the Christian tradition made an enormous impact on my life and helped me to think about things very carefully. It helped me to realize I'm not alone, that I've got a cloud of witnesses around me. And I hope that you will experience something like that in your Christian Heritage class.
So I'm going to not just personify people who say, why do I got to spend money on something that won't transfer? And by the way, liberal arts credits, it will transfer. I'm going to be that kid who's grown up, gone to church their whole life. They know these stories are going to snooze in the background. They're like, you know, whatever. Why do I have to do this? This is so boring. What would you say to those students when they come into our class?
Well, I hope that you don't experience, let's say, Old and New Testament. I hope you don't experience those as primarily factual data classes. What we try to do in those classes is certainly expose people to what's in the Bible. That's really important. And to have a general sense for the contents of Scripture. But we are doing it for the purpose of formation. And so what I hope is happening in those classes, and what I've challenged our faculty to do and what they're challenging each other to do, is to engage the content of Scripture in a way that is meaningful to your lives, where we will wrestle with tough questions. But what we want to see you leave with, if at all possible, and we only hold out the possibility. We're not going to force this on anyone, except you have to take the classes. I get that. But really what we're holding out is an opportunity to step into that space and connect with God. We want you to walk out of those classes saying, my faith is stronger because of this experience. I have learned some things that are going to help me endure as a believer. There's so much like that that we want you to leave with. It's not just, have you heard this your whole life?
And I'll say, when he says, translate a little bit, we believe in the facts. You're going to learn things about the details. But a lot of people, they'll say, okay, we're going to take this objective test. We want you to know all this stuff. And you can get lost in note-taking if you're not careful. So we intentionally, and I think this is for all of us, we will give you more information than you'll be tested on, because we want you to engage. So, you know, suffering, all kinds of stuff.
I might say that this is also not like a church Bible class in some important ways. This is an academic institution, and so we're going to be engaging the study of Old and New Testament from an academic perspective, so that you're intellectually formed as well as spiritually formed. But we never want to lose sight of the ultimate goal is to grow in God.
So one of the big complaints about higher education is these people don't believe in God. They don't believe in the Bible, yada, yada. That's not true of our department. Is that what you're saying? We actually believe this?
Everybody who teaches Bible believes in God.
Wow. Can you say that again?
I think they heard it the first time.
Okay, just that was for emphasis. Oh, my gosh. So, yes.
I will say
it's
this,
important.
That what you might experience in these classes at times is some deep questioning of things. And that for some of you, that might instinctively feel like somebody's questioning the Bible or questioning God. I don't want you to perceive it that way. It's okay for us to ask questions to pursue truth. We should never be afraid to ask the questions and pursue the questions wherever they go. And that's part of what these classes will be about.
And it's one of the most unique things, because the Old Testament and New Testament both do not hide the ugliness of their characters. Many of you have been raised that the Old Testament is written as moral Templars. And then one of my first assignments, we've talked about this before, is you just read the book of Genesis and then we have a discussion. So, and hands go up. They're like, I didn't know this. There's some real, I mean, it's a standard joke, but if you were to take the Old Testament and making it into a Netflix show, kids could not watch it. There's a lot of stuff in there. We've just never read the story, and that's one of the uniquenesses, is we're presented with the good and bad and ugly of God, and they ask questions about suffering. They ask questions about where's God when these things don't work out, and I think it's transformational. I agree with you. Do I get tenure?
No.
Okay, dang. Already got it. Trick question. Okay, so here's for somebody else. So I'm a transfer student, and it's crazy. I only have to take two classes. What's up with that? I'm an adult. So why are you making me take these classes? Would you change your answer at all?
No, I don't think so. I think that what sets us apart as a Christian university is not that we teach Christian math. You know, math is math. It is because of our fundamental convictions that are at the heart of this institution. And we want all of our students to be exposed to reflect meaningfully on their lives from that perspective. And I would say that if you're not a Christian, I really want to invite you to try to inhabit the space. I would invite you to try to resist approaching this like, I can't believe they're forcing me to do this. And I really want to invite you in to say, okay, this isn't really my thing, but I'm going to try to step into those shoes and just see what it looks like from there. One of the things that I tell our majors is, if you sit down at a table with somebody that you disagree with, and you're not willing to entertain that they actually may be right, let's suppose you're on two sides of an argument, then you're not going to have a meaningful conversation. And so it's very hospitable to try to sit across from the other person and say, I just want to step into their shoes and try to see it like they see it as much as possible. I actually try to do that with people who aren't Christian. And so I would really invite you into that space just to see what it looks like. Again, we're not forcing it on you, but we believe it's true, and we want you to at least have a look from the inside.
I appreciate you talking about the invitation, because it is an invitation, and nobody's going to check your card in the mail and say, you know, what church do you go to, stuff like that. That is a cool thing about walking with people. If Jeff and I changed positions, even though we look like each other, we would get a different perspective. You would see this side of the audience. I would see that side of the audience. And sometimes that's all it takes. And I think I can speak for all, and tell me if I'm wrong, all of our Bible faculty and adjuncts welcome questions and exploring and expressions of doubt. We want it to be done in civility, but we've had students over and over again that report, they say, you know, I don't even know if I believe in God, but thank you for the way that you listened, and thank you for the way that you presented things. Because as Jeff said in the onset, we actually believe in this. So, all right, last shot. What do you? Anything else you want to say about Bible at LCU, how we walk with people together in Christian love and unity? What do you got?
Okay, I'm going to point to the Bible building then as a way of inviting you into this. You may have noticed those gigantic wings hanging on the wall, and some of you may be thinking, why do they have two sets of gigantic wings hanging up on the wall? The imagery of those wings is the imagery of a box in the Old Testament called the Ark of the Covenant. It was a small box covered in gold, and there were wings from, they were cherubim wings pointing inward, and the space in between their wings on the top of that box was called the mercy seat. That was the place where God's presence was focused. And so it sat in the holy tent, the tabernacle, and it was in the back secret holy room. Only the high priest could go in there because that was holy space. What we wanted that imagery to do in our building was to create that open space between the wings to say, not God's presence is only there and not down in the American Heritage and certainly not in the business building. Just
speaking
kidding.
Truth, hard truth.
What we wanted that to say is to you, come in here. It's an invitation to engage the living God. This is not dead religion. This is the living God, the Father of Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead and is the Lord of all things. And when your life is lived in union with that God, it is a beautiful thing. It's the hope of the world. That's what we want you to experience when you come in that building. And we love and appreciate every one of you.
Well said. All right, you're about to dismiss us, and since you won't moonwalk, and it's, I don't know. How would you like to dismiss this group today in the way you want to, okay? It's like, how do you want to, don't be boring. It's your turn.
You're dismissed.
Ah!